A reading from John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As you likely realize, Edina Morningside Community Church is part of a network of other churches across the state called the Minnesota Conference of the United Church of Christ. I happen to serve on the board of directors for the conference, which means that every couple months on a Saturday, I meet with other lay and clergy board members to evaluate our ministries across the state, make decisions, and consider possibilities for this Minnesota movement. Yesterday happened to be a board meeting day, so I caught a carpool from the Twin Cities to Zion United Church of Christ in Le Sueur. As so often happens there, I'm struck by the heart, soul, and hard work that the conference staff brings to their work and the stories they can tell of our churches. Minnesota Conference Minister Sherry Presteman, who was with us in the sanctuary here last May for the celebration of our capital campaign, also shares her experience of the National United Church of Christ. Yesterday, she described a recent meeting of the 38 conference ministers who are across the country. As you might imagine, when a bunch of clergy get in the room, there's a lot of sizing up, a lot of comparisons. One conference to another. Some conferences have a dozen staff members, a small geographic footprint, and massive endowments that fund conference ministry. Others in the 38 conferences have just one staff member, the conference minister, and are responsible for ministries across several states, keeping them connected and resourcing them. The disparities between the conferences really came to light at the Council of Conference Ministers meeting this past week when it became clear that some of our conferences are running massive deficits, while others are putting everyday expenses on credit cards. Sherry told us this nearly in tears because of her heart for these other colleagues and the struggles that some of them especially are going through. For our part, Minnesota is kind of in the middle of the pack, middle wealth. We're not nearly as abundant as some, and yet we have far more than others in the conference world. In particular, Sherry asked us to consider aloud, though we have an overly busy staff already, and though we ran a small deficit last year, what might we be able to offer other conferences by way of support? From what abundance might we share with those who have far less than we do? In particular, we recognize the major asset of what's known as the Ashley Endowment, which is a 10-year-old bequest of millions to the conference, specifically designated for faith formation for children and youth. Just the interest on this incredible gift generates almost $400,000 a year, which is enough to empower a conference staff minister just for faith formation, maintaining ministries at the Pilgrim Point camp that wouldn't be there otherwise, supporting resources and training for faith formation leaders like our own Janet Anderson, and sending over a dozen youth to the National March for Our Lives in D.C. later this month. So the board started to reflect on the extravagance of this gift, most of which we spend on ourselves. Even though there's no ought or expectation of sharing, how might we honor the gift that we have been given by passing it on to others with whom we share a covenant in this United Church of Christ? It's safe to say this way of thinking that Sherry invited us into is far from customary. It's rather uncommon. How can we give away more money, more time, more resources? What's far more common is to ask, how can we keep from paying any more than the bare minimum, right? I know that Javen and I look for every opportunity to do just that, to get something for just a little less. When our property taxes started to go up in St. Paul because there's a new professional soccer stadium going up in our backyard, we called the city to complain. On the vacation we just returned from, we stayed in a vacation rental instead of a hotel. We bought Groupons rather than pay full price for a meal. Oh no! We made fancy coffee from our own home brew and sweet non-dairy creamers that you mix in rather than paying the prices at Starbucks two blocks away. I like to think of it as prudent, but I think to others it might look a little cheap. Just saying. Far better, though, to consider the example of the woman we hear in Scripture today. The story in John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, of a woman who comes to Jesus when he is gathered with other disciples, and she takes this incredibly costly ointment called nard. And she takes it would be used just for a little bit of a dab to anoint someone for daily perfume, or you would use a little more if you were anointing a body for burial. And this woman pours out a whole pound of it on Jesus' head, lets it run down his face, all over his clothes, filling the room with the aroma of this abundance. She's anointing him. It's the gift she has to offer from what she possesses. Now, you know, there's another presence in the room, right? There's the voice of Judas, who is also the voice of everyday society. The common expectations, why was this wasted like this? It could have been sold. It could have been generated so much income for other good care and ministry. That's an understandable and prudent response. But for Jesus today, it seems short-sighted, even cheap. She is giving of her abundance, of her generosity, and she is overflowing in gratitude and extravagant love of the sort that is far from common, that we only get every so often in Scripture. Except it's not just in Scripture, is it? When I'm reflecting on this story, I'm also thinking about our experience in the church. Because this is a place, too, of extravagant hospitality and extravagant generosity. I'm thinking about all the gifts to our capital campaign, which you have stretched to make and are still stretching. When we last year had a goal of $800,000, which seemed impossible to get, and yet you gave almost $900,000, overflowing abundance of a biblical size. Just as humbling to me are the person who has very little to give in the way of money, but whose weekly offerings represent a large portion of her take-home pay each week. Others of you show up consistently with your time, and I think I've got the schedule for some of you. You're here for church on Sunday, back for class on Monday night. Tuesday, you come to Bible study. Wednesday is choirs. Thursday, there's often a meeting night. Friday, maybe you take a little bit of time. And then Saturday, you're preparing a Sunday school lesson. You are incredibly generous with your time, with your talents, and with your treasure. And it is beautiful to behold. Thank you. Whereas Judas would count every cost, we, like this woman in the biblical story, give freely, sacrificially, but abundantly, over the top in our generosity and giving. Thanks be to God. We ask ourselves, from what abundance that we have received, might we continue to share with others? To tell you the truth, because I love you dearly, I wonder if there are too many requests, too many asks. Will we run into compassion fatigue, giving fatigue in the church? But I also know that the church can be so much more than just this casual thing that we go to on the side. This is a community that holds the promise of being the main focusing lens, the main perspective through which we encounter the world, ourselves, and the call of God in us. So I expect there will continue, as long as the church is the church, to be invitations to participate in all sorts of ways through the church's life. That one great hour of sharing, offering today, loose coin offerings each week that go to support Beacon's ministries, the meetings with legislators, a request for your time, similar ways to go with our dough and our donations, putting our bodies and our time alongside our gifts, and many other invitations to financial and timely commitment in the life of the church. And I hope Baby Bennett will grow up to recognize that this church into which he is now baptized is a place of strength that gets stronger the more we put into it and we receive from it even more. This is a high commitment and high reward calling into Christian life. And if we give in to the penny-pinching stinginess that Judas represents, we'll miss out on the chance to participate in the overflowing abundance of faith. Because that's where it all comes from. The grace of God, which this water, this baptism, this overflowing water represents. None of us comes into the world on our own power. It is God who knits us together in our mother's wombs. From the moment we're born, others feed, others clothe, others bathe, and care for us. All that we may have with us today may have come through our wise choices and our hard work, but the wisdom and the talents came from another before us. God has poured out on our heads, on our hearts, on our souls, the abundance with which we move through the day and show up today. So in turn, the church exists as a pouring out also of God's mercy into the world which God so desperately loves and calls us to serve. As you leave the church today, think of this building as the pitcher of water or the flask that would hold ointment. Think of this place as the container. And when you go, recognize that you are the pouring out. You are the water with which God washes the world. You are the oil of fragrant, abundant blessing. And God calls on you, on me, on us, on the whole church to love, serve, and drench with blessings the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.